Welcome to Misconnections. We are both Elizabeth. I'm Elizabeth Villa, aka Lizzie.
And I'm Elizabeth Windham, aka Beth.
Misconnections is a podcast that explores our longing to connect and the circumstances that stand in our way.
Each episode will bring a true story of a missed connection and an expert guest to help us unpack the themes of the story so that we can all get better at making real, meaningful connections that feel good to us.
That's why we started this show. After a series of our own misconnections in dating, friendships, and family relationships, we decided to get some help.
You know what time it is? It's time for another Misconnections Mini. A different type of episode where we're bringing more voices, more perspectives, and expanding upon the conversations we get to have around connection.
Yes, and I'm really excited about this one.
Me too.
If you remember back to episode 2, How Do I Find Others Who Love Me in the Same Way with Thomas Page McBee, you heard a beautiful story that asked the question, how do I find my people? It was a story about belonging and connection with community in the midst of transitioning.
You also heard a conversation with the amazing Thomas Page McBee about trans becoming and what it teaches us about identity, integration, and belonging.
We've been chatting with the storyteller from this episode ever since the episode came out and have really enjoyed their reflections on their story, their experience, and what they took away from the conversation we had with Thomas. So we asked them to join us in conversation to answer a few of our follow-up questions and share their thoughts with you.
Oh, and if you haven't listened to episode 2, pause. Go do that right now.
Go do it. So welcome to Misconnections. Thank you so much for joining us again and giving us more of your time. We're excited to hear all of, you know, your reflections on the episode. And maybe we can just start there. How did you feel listening to your story when you heard it after spending time working on it with us? And then what was the process like for you in terms of sharing your story with us?
Thank you. I'm very excited to be back with y'all. I always love these conversations. It was, a part of me always is like, you're so cringe, man. Like, everything just feels so cringy when you listen to it. But that's okay. That's just like a small part. I think it's nice to get like perspective, obviously. I can get like lost in the trees, you know, and just like completely miss like really big things. So yeah, perspective from like different people seeing you from an outside is like very cool. And like, who gets to do that, you know?
Wait, what about it felt cringe to you? Because that is actually something that we hear from, you know, everyone has a response to hearing their own voice, hearing their own story. You know, what about the experience felt weird?
Well, yeah, so I kind of was wondering if you would say that, like, does everyone feel cringe about hearing their story? Is it like hearing your voice on recording? You're just like, oh, do I sound like that? It's a little bit that. It's a little bit like, yeah, it's just like experiencing yourself. Like, I'm so emotionally intense, and I don't realize how intense that is for other people because it feels so normal to me. And then when I hear it back, I'm like, did you really? Goddamn. Like, did you need to say that? Yeah, so it's a little bit that. It's a little bit of, like, always fearing that I overshare. Mm-hmm. Always feeling that. So
I remember leaving our conversation, like our interview with you, and being like, okay, we could literally go 3 different ways with this story. How is this story going to come together? And so it was really interesting to then send it off to our writer and see what they would come up with and then bring it back to you.
Yeah.
And I know you write too. Was that interesting to see like your thoughts being put onto essentially like paper in a way that was like crafted and formed and less stream of thought?
It felt completely disjointed to me. It felt like I was just holding like a random assortment of like whatevers. And I literally would have like, so to answer your question, like how did it feel to have someone else write that? I was literally incapable of doing that at that point because I could not see the big picture because I was so like focused in. I'm trying to figure this stuff out. So I was literally incapable. And it was kind of hard to let go because there was a lot of stuff I would have done differently writing-wise. And I just had to say, like, especially the part about the dream. I've wanted to write that for so long.
I met you for the first time in a dream. I was lying beneath a palm tree in the large yard next to my house, and I slowly began to sink into the ground. Chunks of dirt crumbled around my limbs and covered me in cool, dark earth. I wasn't scared at all, but the opposite. I was at complete and total peace as the earth took me in. Then it pushed back up and out into the world, reborn, this time with my chest gone. There weren't any scars or any signs of my former female body. Just the body I was always meant to have. For the first time, my body felt exactly how it should.
They didn't write it the way I would have, and I had to be like, that part isn't like necessarily my project, you know what I mean? So that was a little bit hard to let go of that. Not that it was like bad, or I didn't like it at all, but I just like had a different vision for it. So I had to just be like, this isn't that, it's a different thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also knowing that it's silly that I literally couldn't have done that, like, you know, like, incapable.
It's not silly.
But it's
all.
Not silly. Yeah, it's not silly because we work with a variety of writers who we are actually writing the story on their behalf, because I think there are writers, and you will get to a point where you can write that story for yourself. But I think that when the writing requires the excavation of your own experience and your own emotions in order to get to the writing of it, it's a longer process for you personally. And so, you know, it makes perfect sense where that would fit on a timeline for you of when you're processing that, and then you will be able to create that. And so we're just kind of taking a little bit of a shortcut to be able to participate in that process with you, really, as one step of your journey, and taking like those pieces that you said that you handed over, like, I don't see the thread here. I'm not sure exactly how this all fits together, but like, here you go. Let's see what you can create out of that. And that, you know, is certainly our honor. And kind of circling back to what you said about like, what's the experience of other folks who are sharing their story? And I think it's really similar, because mm-hmm. we're taking like an hour long conversation of something that's like, we're purposefully very vulnerable and emotional for you. And we're boiling it into like 10 minutes of very direct communication. And so of course it's going to seem
true.
Like drama, like, right?
It's all intense. Feel intense.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's very true. Yeah.
And so it's a really careful process for us, and one that every time we're like, here it is. I hope this feels good to you, because it is so intense. And that's kind of, I don't know that that's the point, but I think that's just the reality of what we're doing. Yeah. And I think you take that and add to it the part of, and no one likes to hear their voice. And it is such a specific experience for the people who've trusted us with this process. I think the other part of that that is specific is that then we have a conversation after that that you get to listen to with someone else. And while we're not like dissecting your story necessarily, it's all related. And so I'd love to know, you know, we had a conversation with the truly incredible, in my opinion, Thomas Page McBee after we heard your story. And I'd love to know how it felt to hear that conversation, and if there was a part of that conversation that really resonated with you or you know, sat with you.
Mm. It was weird. I think it's weird because you can't respond a little bit.
Sure.
Because you're like not part of that conversation. And I think that's what you guys are trying to like be delicate about, is like the storyteller doesn't get to say anything back. Which you guys kind of like do some things to, you know, around that, like this. For me, I was like, oh shit, realizing all these things because I'm like seeing the big picture now. Yeah, I think it was just kind of a roller coaster, but I mean, I listened to it like a couple times because I had to get over like the cringiness, you know, and just like settle into it. And I did listen to it again today. I appreciated, like, being told that this is, like, the beginning of a thing, not the end of a thing. At first, I was kind of like, what? Like, I did so much work. And then, but, like, you are, like, at the beginning of figuring out how to exist in the world.
There's a koan, the Zen koan, you know, in the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities, and the experts, there are a few. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that book was driven by the idea of like, I'm a beginner, and we're all beginners at different things at different points. And there's nothing outside of the human experience, nothing. And so if you are asking a question, you're not the first person to ask it, but maybe you're best set up to ask it because it's occurring to you. And maybe people will be very grateful in your life or otherwise to engage with that because you're brave enough to ask, you know? I mean, any question you have or anything that is bumping you is probably bumping someone else too.
In your book, you were constantly discovering things that you were a beginner at. Yeah. And that there was one line, I forget at which point, where you said, oh, I guess I'm a beginner at this too, or something like that. It's like, yeah, okay. But that you were also discovering that the people that you were developing this community around were beginners at a lot of things as well. And it was a matter of where you had the space to say, like, I'm new at this.
So yeah, that was good, I think, to hear that kind of like reflected back, or to see that reflected back, and like to some for someone to give language to that. Mm-hmm. Like, big picture idea of like the connection to nature was just sort of like so normal to me that I didn't know it was. I think it just like highlighted its importance, I guess. And I kind of try to like lean into that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I know when we were in conversation with Thomas, and he presents us this concept of trans time.
I'm a really big believer in this thing called trans time, you know, which is the idea that in sort of chronological normal time, you know, especially in like heteronormative time, there's this sort of linearity that seems to exist where it's like you're born, you have babies, you die, you know, whatever. And it's like things are a straight line. And I think trans people inherently don't live in that. I mean, even if we have babies and so on, we're not living in a straight line. Mm-hmm. We're living circularly. We're beginning again. We're having two puberties. Like, all of these things that are happening where we're having to be cyclical. And like, you know, I've come to really love that about being trans because I also realize that everyone is living that way. It's just that there's a sort of false idea that there's linearity, you know, and sometimes that puts us out of time or out of step with people around us because it can feel like everyone else is having a different experience than me. But the older I get and the more alive I am and the longer I'm in my body and whatever, like, the more I'm realizing, like, it is a gift to have a trans becoming because you get to see behind that veil and realize truly that things are just cyclical and life is cycles. I mean, we are born and we die, but besides that, all along the way, you know, it's just an endless integration, return, new thing, return, new thing.
And how he frames it as a cyclical becoming. That was really, not to be dramatic, but a little earth-shattering for me in the sense of, like, it made so much sense to me. And, you know, and I'm not saying that I have a specific trans experience, but I also have definitely experienced time not as linear, but cyclical throughout my different iterations of growth as a human being. And just to have somebody frame that and be able to like expand my understanding of time and be able to kind of like ground myself in times where that cycle is happening, whether it's like the re-beginning or the ending, that the kind of like transition of that all was, like I said, it was just really helpful for me. And I'm curious for you, how did you feel hearing about that definition? And did it help you understand your own trans experience?
Calling it trans time is definitely like new. I had never heard anyone call it that, but like, it's not a new concept for me. Like,
sure.
Even in the sense of like being queer and maybe it's like a purity culture thing, like, because there was like so much repression. Like, I didn't date anybody in middle or high school or college. No, not a fucking person. I dated one boy for like 4 months or something stupid, you know, literally in that whole time. So like the first time I dated somebody, I was 25 and I was just like so bad at it, you know? And you have this sense of like, these are the things that 12-year-olds do and think and feel, but it's like, I've never been on a fucking date before. Like, I don't know. And now I have money and power and a car. Like, it's a terrible, like, recipe sometimes. Because then you make all these really bad decisions and, like, you can because you're an adult. You're not 12 and living in your mom's house, you know? So, I mean, that's, like, not new. So, like, I felt that in the dating world in the sense of, like, oh, I'm finally out and gay and I get to date and this is, like, really fun. I mean, that's also the same as, like, you know, people get married when they're 25. And to me, that sounds just absolutely cuckoo. It's like, like, the fact that my baby sister has a one-year-old is nuts. Like, it just doesn't, it makes no sense to me at all. But I think the idea of, like, it being cyclical, not just, like, behind, is nice, mm-hmm. you know? Because I just feel like I'm behind. Yeah. I'm just, like, trying to catch up. But, like, no, like, everybody's just in these cycles, really. And that was the other thing of, like, feeling like there's this, like, feeling so isolated because people don't know you're trans. But then realizing that, like, his point of, like, nobody knows anybody's story, really. And we make all these assumptions, but, like, they're not really true. So that was a nice, like, grounding moment, too.
Yeah, I think that was something that really stuck out to me about the episode was, you know, the concept of trans time, yes, and, like, the cyclical nature of becoming. But I also think the point that Thomas really hit on was, like, that we're always beginning at something.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're constantly beginners, and we have this idea that we ever get to, like, arrive somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, we're on this journey, and then we'll be whole. We'll be the adult version that we imagined of ourselves one day. Or, you know, we'll have, like you said, all these privileges and then realize, like, wait, privileges can be hard because I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm behind in ways I thought I would have arrived. I'm, you know, ahead in ways that I thought I would be still learning. And that time as an imaginary or as an assumed concept is unrealistic in terms of the way that we grow and develop. I think that's one of the things that's, like, hard for me about aging is actually just, like, that I have to deconstruct the ideas of what it means to be 35 years old and not, like, because 35 means something to me, but because it meant something to me at 15.
Yeah.
And I have to, like, deconstruct the idea of, like, what I imagined 35 to be like. And so I think we're constantly reconciling those ideas of what we imagined and where we are. It can be freeing to think about always being a beginner and that we never arrive and that, you know, that experience is of becoming is actually cyclical. From your experience and, like, the story that you shared is obviously, like, consolidating a lot of time. I'm curious to know what within that experience or since you shared that your story, where you found freedom in stepping away from those assumptions and being able to be in this present moment of where you are and what you have really, like you said, worked really hard to become without the expectation of what's next.
I told Beth this, but after listening to the episode a couple times, I was like, I think my pronouns are they, them. It's like one of those things that was like right in front of my face. Like when I listen to it, I'm like, I'm literally saying it. I'm like literally saying it. I'm like talking about how much I love being genderless in the woods.
These identity demons have always been at their most quiet when I'm out in nature. Since I was a kid, the freedom of nature has provided a refuge from social norms, societal rules, and gender roles of typical life. Nature is where I've always connected with you the clearest. Nature is where I've always felt the best about my body and my gender. Whether working as a counselor at summer camps or going on camping trips, gender never mattered when I was being a total dirtbag in the woods. The thing is, everybody kind of becomes genderless in the great outdoors. There's no pressure on how to act or dress or do your makeup or do your hair. No, I'm not going to straighten my hair. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's like, I went on about that for a long time. Like, when I listened to it today, that's what stuck out. I was like, oh my gosh, like, you just can't see yourself sometimes. Anyways, so that's been really nice. I've been going by they, and it feels right. And, like, he never really felt right, but I was, like, just trying it out, I guess. But it never, like, landed. And then that conversation was sort of, like, really clarifying in a lot of ways. So that feels good. I've been trying to just sort of Because I like panic and I'm like, I just, in whatever ways, I just tend to panic and like try to like fix something, whether it's like, oh, I'm not making enough money at my job. I'm going to go get a new one or, you know, whatever, whatever. I'm trying to kind of like live into like, where do I like to be? Like, do I like working at this job? You know, am I stressed out when I go there? You know? So that's been working out too. I work in a place where I have like friends that work there. So I feel like I kind of have a little friend group now, which is so nice. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And it really is just, I think I'm just like relaxing and like trying, like not trying to be anything anymore. Just like doing what feels right. And like being in places that I feel like I can be myself. So mm-hmm. That's been working. So that's good.
That's actually really amazing to hear, and thank you for sharing that. And to your point earlier, it's interesting how the story was able to give you a bigger picture of yourself and in turn helped you be able to feel a little bit more grounded in how you identify.
Yeah.
And being able to have like a friend group, because like part of our conversation and story with you was like, where is my people? Where do I belong? Mm-hmm.
How do I find my people? What do I have to do? Be like, hi, over here. I love the idea of automatically and unconditionally belonging to a friend group, to a community, to a person. One of the hardest things about transitioning is that I'm not part of the woman club anymore. I no longer have my cool lesbian crew. Even though, unequivocally, it doesn't feel like a space I belong in anymore, I still wish I had a lesbian friend group like I had before.
And part of that intersection in the story that we highlight was specifically in spaces where you work. And so to hear that you have some friends at work now is just like amazing to hear. Do you feel like you're able to be yourself more authentically with them in that space at your job?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny because like the job I'm at now and the place I really love is the same place where I barbacked at. Mm-hmm. I'm just doing a different job. So I don't have to go in all like, I'm going to kick your ass when I'm really not gonna, you know? That's why it was hard because I had to.
Critical.
Really, though, because I really wasn't going to fight anybody. There's no way I was going to fight anybody. So I had to look like I was going to fucking kick your ass. Not allowed to wear crop tops. Like, but like. I'm serious. But now I get to be like a daytime server, and the people I work with, I'm like actually friends with, like the people who come in and bartend, the people who work in the kitchen. They're like some of my original friends from when I like first moved here. And then we kind of like didn't really hang out that much for a year. And now that I'm working back there, sort of like we're just around more.
That's so great.
I don't know. And maybe I'm just like, I'm in a better place too. So I'm in a better place to be like open and actually like, you know, try to make friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that timing can be everything when it comes to like generating or like deepening connection to timing for where you're at, where other people are at. And so the fact that the timing seems to have clicked for you in a way that feels really good is amazing. So we love to hear that.
Yeah, it is good.
So we have heard through, I think, your reflections and your conversations with Beth that you've listened to other episodes of Misconnections, and we'd love to know if there were...
I text Beth every week.
Okay. I actually didn't know that. I just knew there were reflections.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I get the exclusive behind-the-scenes opinions.
Almost every week. Yeah, I like it a lot. I like listening to them, and I'm like, oh, Beth, this is so amazing.
I love that. Well, I'd love to know what other episodes or conversations, you know, have felt notable to you, or that you've especially enjoyed, or that you've taken stuff away from. Like, what other bits of Misconnections have you just enjoyed?
I like them all. Really, the one that literally like it feels dramatic, but like I feel shook like having listened to it was like the one about like the connection with body, because that's just like such a foreign thing to me, and it's something that I just literally don't understand. And I know it's like such a big part of your life, Beth, and to like hear, just hearing it is like, you know, it's like heart-wrenching because it's like I to like understand better, you know, like what that is and what it feels like. But like good. Mm-hmm. I have a really hard time connecting to my body. I don't even know that I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, So yeah, that one was like, the first listen was like, wow, that was just like, just incredible and like heavy and really good. And then the second time I was like, okay, this, like, let me try to understand, you know. Still don't really have, I don't really know. I don't really have any comments beyond that, but it was really good.
I think you should also know that we get the same comments about your story. While it may be difficult to listen to your own story for all the reasons that we've discussed, that people have had such a positive experience of hearing your story and getting to kind of sit with that, understand that, and even just appreciate it, whether it's something that they're relating to or not.
That's cool.
And so we just really appreciate you going on that journey with us, because as you mentioned, it's not
easy.
Not easy, and you don't have full control, but it is such an honor to get to collaborate with all the storytellers and also with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's cool. That's cool to know. Yeah, that one was, I mean, incredible. And I was also really, I loved the episode of the couple that kind of like evolved together over like, they like met really young, and then like the evolution of like this one partner realizing like, oh wow, like I'm really kind of selfish. That one was like, I almost didn't listen to it because I was like, I'm just so fucking bitter and cynical, you know. And it had some like religious overtones. I was like, I'm not listening to this shit. And then I was like, it's Beth, like calm down, like it's them, you know, like they wouldn't put anything stupid or weird on the internet. So I was like, I'll give it a chance. And I was like, oh, so if, just because of that, it was like such a nice, it was such a cool flip that I like, you know, it's like, let me listen to it. And it was worth it.
It's always surprising the episodes or like the conversations that we prep that you think you'll least connect to somehow become the ones you most connect to or like most learn from, at least in my experience this past season that we've been producing. But it's been a nice inquiry of discovery, just being able to share different versions, different, like a diverse set of ways people connect in different types of relationships. And somehow there's always something to learn and garner from and learn about yourself.
Yeah. I had the same reservations about that episode kind of going into it with the way that was like, heteronormative, you know, marriage, religious overtones, all of those things. And I think that that's one of the things I've appreciated most about this experience. And one of the things we desired about putting this podcast together was to relate in places we didn't expect to, because I think that when it comes to connection, there's so many of the same threads running underneath. It's just kind of the expression and experience of that that maybe changes. And how much more interesting is it to get to learn from others than to hear a bunch of stories that are, you know, similar to our own? I relate to you on that, where I wasn't excited necessarily with the concept and then was like enthralled with the story. And so appreciative of it as well.
Yeah. I just want to thank you again for sharing your story, because I think one of the things about your story that's so helpful to listeners is that we're all in the thick of our own inquiry of ourselves, right? We're all in a moment where we're really trying to understand and connect with ourselves and where we're at, where we want to go. And it's not perfect at all. It's not a linear, this dot needs to connect to this dot, needs to connect to this dot. And like, I think the beauty of your story is just saying there's just this like ecosystem that we're all experiencing in ourselves to understand ourselves and then trying to figure out how we can then connect with others. And so I know it can feel intense at moments, and I completely agree, because I can be very intense as well in that inquiry of myself. But It's helpful to like for people to know like they're not alone in that experience too. So I just wanted to highlight that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like feeling cringy and like feeling like I overshare, and then like that's always balanced with like, Like, I do feel like that. And also, I feel like that is, like, a strength I have because, like, a lot of people don't do that. And, like, I've had situations where, like, I've said something, usually in a work situation, like, I'll be the one to, like, say something. And then, like, other people will come forward and be like, actually, like, I had this experience, too, and I had this experience, too. So, like, I do really value that. Like, as much as I do feel it's cringy, also, I feel like it's really valuable. And I have accepted my role in the world as that, like, person that'll be, like, I will, like, and, like, I love that. Like, I would love to be able to create, like, spaces where people feel like they can be vulnerable and be, like, themselves.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure we could continue to talk to you for another hour or so, but we want to respect your time and just want to, again, extend our gratitude to you for, one, agreeing to be part of this journey with us and sharing a story with us, and then also coming on and sharing your feelings and thoughts of doing that and also participating in Miss Connections as a listener. We really appreciate your thoughts.
Yes. I'm a huge fan. I love it. Let me know if you guys want to talk about belonging.
Well, we will. We absolutely will. Thank you so much. You've hit, Beth just described the trifecta of misconnection. So you've hit all three, and that means you're a part of this forever. Aww. Aww. So thank you.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much to the storyteller for sharing even more with us. We think it's so important to continue to hear from all of our storytellers and from you.
What questions do you have about connection? What stories do you have to share? Email us at elizabeths@missconnectionspod.com or send us a message on Instagram or TikTok at Miss Connections Podcast.
This is Miss Connections. Thanks for listening. I'm Elizabeth Windham.
And I'm Elizabeth Villa. Special thanks to our truly amazing storyteller. You know who you are.
Miss Connections is co-hosted, produced, and edited by us, the Elizabeths, Elizabeth Villa and Elizabeth Windham.
Our theme music is Feeling by Danielle Musto.
Have a Miss Connection story to share with us? Email us at elizabeths@missedconnectionspod.com.
And please follow, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.